Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org.
Our behavior should match our beliefs. Did you catch that line from the drama? Our behavior should match our beliefs. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote the book of Titus, and he was writing to the Christians in Crete, his answer to that question, should our behavior match our beliefs? His answer is a resounding yes. Yes, of course, our behavior should match our beliefs. And so, if you're joining us for the first time, we just wrapped up a sermon series on the book of Titus, and the title of that sermon series was Great Expectations, because in that book, Paul lays out his high hopes for this group of Christians and how he hopes that their behavior will match their beliefs. And so today, that sermon series is over, but we're going to continue on with some of those themes, and as we look at the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. God has saved us by his grace, and God is transforming us in this life by his grace. And so our behavior as we grow should come to match our beliefs. And we'll look more at that in a minute. Krista, would you please come and read our scripture passage? And as she comes forward, let's pray together for the reading of God's word. God, thank you for the gift of your word, and specifically from the book of 1 John this morning. And God, we thank you that you continue to speak even today through your word. And so we ask that this would be a living word, and that we would be open and receptive listeners of your word. God, make us open and receptive to what you are doing within us this morning, both as individuals and as a whole congregation. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
1 John 5, verse 1 through 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
Thank you, Krista. So I want to start out just by focusing right in on verse 3. Verse 3, the first half of it, says, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. This is love for God, to keep his commands. Now, I know a lot of us, some of you may have spent your entire lives growing up in churches that consistently told you that salvation is by God's grace. And so these words, they might kind of make you bristle a little bit. What do you mean that loving God is keeping his commands? That seems a little strong. I thought salvation was just by grace. But this verse is getting that idea that I named, that God has saved us by his grace, and God is transforming us by his grace. To be saved by God doesn't mean that we get saved and then we just hang around on earth and wait until we die and go to heaven. God's salvation is playing out in this world too. God is transforming us by his grace. There's a famous verse in the book of James that many of you may have heard that says, faith without works is dead. And some people find that to be a very confusing verse, but it's just the natural implication that those two go seamlessly together. If we've been saved by God's grace, we are being transformed in this present life by God's grace. And so, yes, to love God is to keep his commands. Now, as human beings in this world, the only way that we have to love other people is through our actions. If we don't act on our love, there's no way for us to communicate our love to other people. See, I can say I love and care about someone, but if I never call that person, if I never go out to lunch with that person, if I never have that person over to my house, if I avoid that person at church on Sunday mornings, then do I really love that person? Because all of my actions show something different. And then even if there's someone that you have a strong feeling of affection for, the only way that they're ever going to know that is if you speak it. And even speaking is an action. You have to say words to let them know, I love you. And so as humans, the only way we can love others is through our actions. I'm sure you all have heard the phrase, love is a verb. Have you all, yes, no, am I crazy? I'm seeing some nods. Love is a verb, and that's exactly what it's talking about. The only way we have to love others is through our actions. And so it's no different in our love for God. If our love for God isn't embodied in the way that we live and the way that we go about our lives, then what kind of faith is that? Even prayer is an action of sorts. So yes, to love God is to keep his commands, because our love is shown and communicated through our actions. But then we get to the second half of verse 3. And to me, the second half of the verse 3 is the one that really makes me scratch my head. So the first half says, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And the second half says this, and his commands are not burdensome. Now, I don't know about John as he's writing these words, but I don't think he realizes how much of a burden sometimes it feels like to be a Christian. And to try to live in God's ways, in God's world, it can feel difficult sometimes. I read these words, his commands are not a burden, and I think, man, this guy didn't understand. When Jesus said, when he gave us his command to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and when he said to love your neighbor as yourself, that encompasses every little facet of our lives. That feels like a huge burden at one level. And so what is 1 John, what is this guy saying when he says that his commands are not burdensome? There's a gap here. I think that we experience when we feel God's commands as a burden, there's a gap between what we say we believe, what we have written down, a statement of belief on paper that we would agree with, and then what our actions say we actually believe. Are you with me on this? There seems to be a gap there. Let me put it like this. How many of you have a hobby that you enjoy? A lot of you. Okay. Keep your hands up for a sec. I just want to make sure I can see who. Yeah. Okay. All right. So how many of you also have a full-time job that is not that hobby? All right. All right. Good. Good. Good for you all. So why is that? There's a divide. You all have hobbies that you are passionate about, that you're devoted to, that these hobbies, they give you so much life. And yet, despite the fact that you really genuinely love these hobbies, you spend 40, 50, 60, however many hours a week invested in this job. A job that maybe you love, maybe you hate, maybe for a lot of you it's just a job that you're doing. And so there's this gap. Here's the hobby that we are passionate about, and then here's what we're actually doing with our lives. Do you know why most of us spend time invested in our jobs and then instead of our hobbies? It's because there is something else. As much as we love those hobbies, there is something we love and there's something we desire even more. Financial stability. Riding bike is great. Crocheting is great. Weightlifting is great. But financial stability, that is something we hunger for so deeply. So much so that no matter how much we enjoy those hobbies, no matter how much I enjoy playing pickup basketball at the Y, I'm still going to do my job. Because we all desire so deeply financial stability. And so as humans, we will always live in a way in which we follow what we actually believe and what we actually desire most. And so when these words from 1 John are written, this is what it has in mind. If the thing we actually desire most is to know God, to love God, to be loved by God, then following God's commands, loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving our neighbors as ourselves, even when that's difficult, that won't feel like a burden. His commands are not burdensome if God is what we truly and most deeply desire. And so anytime we brush up against something that we feel like God is calling us to, or anytime that we brush up and it feels like loving our neighbor is so hard and it makes such a big imposition on us, what we're brushing up against is our lack of love for God. Because he hasn't yet become our one desire that we long for more than anything else. And so then we get to verse 4 and 5. Let me just read these. I'll just start with verse 3 so we have that as well. So verse 3, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands, they are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So we all have a gap between what we say we believe about our faith, between what we say about how we love God, and then how we actually live our lives. And every time we feel that command to love as a burden, it's showing us that there's a gap. But Jesus has overcome the world. And as this verse says, we, if we believe in Jesus, we have also overcome the world. Here's what they mean by that phrase, overcome the world. It helps to know some background. This book of 1 John, part of the reason why it was written was to address a heresy, a mistaken belief that the people had about Jesus. And so in the book of 1 John, John is making a point to let these people know that Jesus was the Son of God and that Jesus had a physical body. Jesus is human. Because there were some people in this group of Christians that he's writing to that they said, you know what, Jesus only kind of had a body. You know, it's like a mirage, like you could put your hand through him. And John says, no, and this is critically important. Jesus has a body. Jesus is human. He is just as human as we are. And this made me think of an event that happened a number of years ago back in my home area of Southwest Ohio. There is a church in Southwest Ohio. It's a big, prominent church, and they're always in the headlines for a variety of reasons. It's kind of a mixed bag. I won't go into details. But this church was known for their big displays. And so the church is located right alongside Interstate 75, which is the main thoroughfare between Dayton and Cincinnati, and it's a highly trafficked road. And this church, they decided to build a baptismal pool, or a baptismal pond. They basically dug a giant pond out in between the church and Interstate 75. And then in the pond, they decided they wanted to put in a 60-foot statue of Jesus. And it's Jesus from the waist up, and it looks like he's bursting out of the water, and he has his arms outstretched looking up to heaven. So as you can imagine, with this church, since it has a little bit of a reputation, this generated all kinds of buzz in the local news, especially since this is right next to the interstate. Now, the problem with this statue, this is a very practical problem. They went kind of cheap on the materials, so this thing was basically a giant torch waiting for a match to start a fire, because the materials were that flammable. And so, unfortunately, that match came in the form of a thunderstorm one night, and Jesus burnt. And all that was left was a metal frame that was sort of the frame that supported all of the statue. And so then you can imagine the buzz, and when I went to work at my summer job the next day, it was all we talked about for like 45 minutes. But then I'll never forget, and this is why this came to mind. I'll never forget driving down the road, and a radio DJ had people calling in to talk about this, and one guy calls in and he says, "I've got the perfect solution." He says, "We get a giant white sheet, we throw it over the frame, call it the Holy Ghost." And how true is that of how we treat Jesus? So we say we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, but really, a lot of us, we treat Jesus like he's some mystical spirit that you can't really engage with, and if he was here in person, we couldn't really touch him. We're cool with Jesus being divine, but his humanity, I mean, Jesus couldn't have really had needs and desires and temptations just like us. I mean, we know what it's like to be hungry. Jesus, I mean, maybe he was kind of hungry. But the writer of 1 John, what he wants them to know is that, yes, Jesus was every bit as human as you are. Every bit as human as you are. Jesus had human needs. He needed food. He got hungry. I'm sure he probably got sick. He got tired. Jesus, he knew what it was like, as you read the Gospels, to be in sometimes contentious relationships with other people. Jesus knew what it was like to be lonely. I think specifically the Garden of Gethsemane, as his spirit was wasting away and his disciples left him entirely alone. And then Jesus knew exactly what it was like to be tempted. To be tempted to use his power for himself instead of for his Father's kingdom. To be tempted to look at other people around him and compare himself and his ministry to what these other people are doing. And this is why this is good news. Jesus was every bit as human as we are. And Jesus overcame the world. And now, as virtue of being disciples of Christ, we too can overcome the world. And overcoming the world, what that means is that our desire, our deepest desire, is that we love God and that we know God, and that we are loved by God. Because that was Jesus' deepest desire. And so no matter the physical needs and the relationship issues and the temptations that he faced, Jesus was locked in. And so that deepest desire, that deepest belief that he had, it guided him his entire life. And so to him, I'm sure he would say it wasn't a burden. Because he was so in love with his Father that following his commands, following his ways in the world, being a humble servant was not a burden. And he might even say that giving up his own body as a living sacrifice on the cross was not a burden. Because that's how deep his love for God was. And so the writer of 1 John says, Jesus overcame the world. And so in this present world, we can too. The most natural thing in the world for a Christian is to follow in God's ways in this world, to live into God's commands. That's not a burden. That's our joy. The unnatural thing is to be a Christian, but to never grow into that. Now, this isn't a process where you just snap your fingers and it happens overnight. As I said a few weeks ago, that this is a lifelong shaping. But you should always be able to look back and say, you know, who was I 20 years ago? And who am I today? And so here's the question that I want to throw out, Westview, this morning. All of us, we have a gap. We have a gap between what we say we believe, what's written down on paper, and then what our actions show that we actually believe. And so my question I want to throw out there is, where's your gap? Where's your gap? And we all have one. No matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter how far you think you've progressed in the faith, there's always a gap. And so that's the question I want to offer to you as you have time, maybe later today or this week, to think, where is your gap between the things you say you believe and what your actions say you actually believe? And then the other thing is that the desire to love God, to know God, that in and of itself is a gift of God's grace. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, man, I don't really know where to start on this relationship with God and growing as a Christian, that's fine. Pray that God would give you that desire to know him. This is how we love God, by keeping his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. And in fact, I would say they're a gift. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for the commands that you gave us to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God, we thank you for the command that you gave us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And God, we ask this morning that you would help us to understand the wide-reaching implications of that, of how these two commands affect every fiber of our being and all of our actions and all of our days. And God, help us to grow into these so that they're not a burden, but it's our joy to be able to follow you and to live in your ways and your world. And God, we thank you this morning especially for Jesus and that he overcame the world. And God, we ask that you would empower us to overcome the world as well. And we trust that you will make it so, all by your grace. And God, as we come to you this morning, we also bring to you a couple of specific needs of our community. Needs where it feels like your love hasn't come to completion yet in this world. And so we pray specifically for our brothers and sisters in Israel, Palestine. And God, we pray for Josh and Sally Viss, our mission partners there. God, we ask that you would bring your peace and your justice to all the people who call that land home. And God, we also pray for our brothers and sisters who live in India, and especially in the state of Tamil Nadu. And God, we pray that for the alleviation of COVID in their country, because it's hit them so hard. God, bring your healing and your peace. And God, for these two requests, and for so many more across the world and within our community, we come to you this morning, and we ask that you would bring your healing. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.